The apple does not fall far from the tree. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. Sounds like a proverb, doesn't it? Well, it started out as a proverb. The statement that the apple does not fall far from the tree is a common expression in the United States. You could say that it was popularized in the United States. Apparently, it comes from an old German proverb that gives the same sentiment. But it became popular after it was used by Ralph Waldo Emerson in some of his lectures and writings. It is an idea that I can remember since childhood. It just shows that traits tend to be expressed through the family, handed down generation after generation. So with that introduction, you might suspect that I am going to launch into a story, and that is exactly right. This is not a fictional story. This is a true story. This is a discussion of experiences that I had growing up. What I will tell you is very much related to that concept that the apple does not fall far from the tree. If you've watched previous videos on the Input English channel, you might be aware that I love to travel. I like to explore. I like to learn new things. And this is not something I invented. This is something I learned from my parents. My parents were explorers. Not explorers in the sense that they went to distant continents and went to places that no one had ever been. No, they were explorers in the modern sense. That is, they went to places that they were unfamiliar with to learn about them. My parents definitely had wanderlust. They liked to go places. They liked to see new places, and they liked to explore. They taught that to their children. During the 20th century, and arguably ongoing at the present time, the road system in the United States is evolving. It's being constructed. During my lifetime, the interstate system changed from an idea to a reality. When my parents were taking their four kids on summer vacations, they drove a family car and then later hooked a trailer to the back of that car. They did not equip themselves with any off-road capability at all. The vehicles they chose were intended for highways. When I was a teenager, we were traveling in Utah with the travel trailer being pulled by an automobile through roads that were not very good. Initially, they were paved roads, and then eventually the roads chosen by my dad to get from point A to point B took us onto gravel roads. These roads were later referred to by my mom as Jeep trails. But we weren't in a Jeep. We were in a sedan pulling a big travel trailer. As the roads got worse, our ability to turn that big rig around and go back whence we came were eliminated. We couldn't turn it around. We had to continue in that direction. The road that we were on had no places to turn around. It was not practical to back up that trailer for many miles. So given these facts, my dad proceeded with caution. I can remember we came down a steep grade on this rocky gravel road, and then at some point it got even rougher. The visual appearance of the road didn't change, but the sensations that we were getting in the vehicle were very different. It was hard to make headway. We couldn't maintain our speed, and it was very rough. So my dad prudently stopped the car in the middle of the road to take a look at what was going on, to inspect the entire rig. Now, you might think it's odd to just stop this big travel trailer rig in the middle of the road, but mind you, there was no other traffic. There were no other vehicles. We didn't see a soul out there It was us and this terrible road. When my dad examined the rig, what he found was that two tires on the travel trailer had gone flat. It was clear that the rough road conditions had destroyed these two tires. It then became completely clear that continuing without changing the tires was not an option. It would be dangerous and it would be impossible because the car didn't have enough power to pull this heavy rig unless it had tires that were inflated and able to roll. So there was no real choice. He had to pull over right where we were and figure out how to deal with these two flat tires. The car had four tires, of course, and then the trailer, having two axles, had four tires. Two on the right side, two on the left side. As I recall, it was the two tires on the right side that went flat. These were very large truck tires. These were not tires that were small like what you would have on a car. This all occurred in the mid-afternoon. We didn't have the whole day to figure out how to solve this problem. Rather shortly, nightfall would be coming. This was also before cell phones and the internet. So all of the planning and reckoning how we would solve this problem had to be done based on analog resources like map books and directories. My dad pulled the trailer to the side of the road and off the road a bit, but there was a limit to how far off the road he could get, lest he get the trailer stuck. We would camp in that location that night with the plan of dealing with the problem the following morning. We removed the two wheels and tires from the side where they had gone flat and supported the trailer with jacks. The trailer was leveled and secure, but we disconnected it from the car. As the plan evolved, my dad decided that he and one of my sisters would take the two flat tires mounted on these wheels to a town and get them replaced. The nearest town was probably between 50 and 75 miles away. Once the car was disconnected and the trailer was leveled and secured, it was time to fix dinner. The travel trailer was well equipped. We had battery-powered electric lights. We had a bathroom. We had a holding tank full of fresh water, and we had a refrigerator that worked fine on the propane gas. So it was not really a hardship. We could not run the air conditioner, but that didn't matter because we were in a place in the desert where it gets very cool at night. No one was going to be hot that night. We could run the furnace, because that was powered by propane. My parents concocted the idea that we should just make the best of this, turn this into a very positive experience, and enjoy it. We were stuck there. We might as well have a good time. Several of us went out into the desert within easy walking distance of the trailer and collected rocks. We put the rocks in a circle, a large circle, and then we planned on building a bonfire in the middle of the circle. We went out into the desert and collected branches of dried, dead, seasoned wood that came from pinyon trees. These little pinyon trees of the desert had a very strong and pleasant aroma, and that aroma was expressed in the smoke. Burning pinyon logs in a bonfire creates a very pleasant smell. So we did that. We set up a small barbecue grill to cook the hamburgers. I was in charge of cooking the hamburgers and used a spatula to turn the burgers over to cook them on the other side. At one point, when I was flipping one of the burgers over, I flipped it off the grill and into the sand, onto the ground. This was dry sand. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't filthy. It was just gritty, dry sand. I picked up that burger and rinsed it off. We decided that that burger would be mine. If anybody is going to be finding grit from sand in their hamburger, it should be the person who dropped it in the sand. Yes, there was a little sand in that hamburger. After dinner, we had a nice bonfire of pinyon logs. And at some point, one of us picked up one of the rocks that was making up our fire circle and examined it because it looked interesting. It was petrified wood. And then we started looking at the other rocks in the circle. And every last one of the rocks that we had put in our fire circle was petrified wood. The fire was not in contact with these rocks, so none of them were changed by being in a fire circle. These rocks were simply put in a large circle with the fire in the center. We used some of our water to put out that fire so that it didn't spread overnight. We doused the fire with water and then put some sand over top of that to make sure that the fire was out. The following day, my dad and one of my sisters took the two flat tires mounted on wheels to the nearest town that was big enough to have a tire store. They bought two new tires and had them mounted on those wheels. They were inflated to the proper pressure. And then this away team came back with our replacement tires. I called them the away team. That expression came out of Star Trek. In Star Trek, the away team was a group of people that would go away from the ship and complete a mission. Indeed, my dad and my sister were a capable away team who came back with these tires. We mounted them on the trailer and hooked the car back up. For the rest of that journey on that rough, rocky road, my dad was particularly careful not to damage any of the tires because he didn't want to have that whole experience all over again. The rest of our journey on that road was uneventful. Experiences like that are very memorable. It was an unusual experience, and none of us ever forgot it. We all learned from it. I certainly learned from it. When I was driving on a rough, rocky road in our family car in the spring, I was very aware of the potential of damaging the tires and being stranded in the desert with one or more flat tires. The striking difference was, with the trailer having flat tires, we had the ability to rescue ourselves. If my little Subaru had two flat tires, I would not have been able to rescue myself. I would have had to depend on the kindness of a stranger to provide help. So not only did my parents learn from their experience of driving the family car on a Jeep trail, the next generation also learned from that experience. We had transgenerational learning. That experience of being stranded in the desert with tires that had been destroyed by the road surfaces figured heavily in my decision to get a vehicle that was capable of negotiating such primitive, rough roads with a substantial margin of safety that I not become stranded. It's a very human characteristic that learning passes down through the generations. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.